This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If we knew more about our sleep, what would we do differently? Would we go to bed at a consistent time or take steps to reduce interruptions to our sleep? With the all-new Sleep Score, Apple Watch measures your bedtime consistency, interruptions, and sleep duration. Then, every morning it combines these factors into an easy-to-understand score from 1 to 100. So you'll know how to take the quality of your sleep from good to excellent. Introducing the new Sleep Score on Apple Watch. iPhone 11 or later required.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I know him.
Rich Eisen.
I know him.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Are you kidding me, JJ?
How many weeks do you give JJ?
I'm surprised with the struggles of it.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Actor Jared Harris. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm it. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. We've got a what's more likely for the Thanksgiving Day triple header, the John Madden celebration. We just chatted with Kurt Warner in hour number one. Kurt and I, along with the rest of the NFL Game Day crew, will be covering the day for you on Thanksgiving Day, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network, 7 a.m. out here. So there's that. And some great games. We previewed that for you. I've got my power rankings, which we'll get to in a second. Chris is where he is. Mike Del Tufo,
yes,
why
sir.
Are you looking up at the ceiling?
There was a piece of dust that flew past
All right.
Me.
Good to know that you're
you
focused.
You can see dust?
Yes.
Like Mike Del Tufo,
one.
Not only
spider.
Working the faders,
a
he's
spider.
Seeing dust.
A spider's falling on me here, Rich.
What's up, TJ Jefferson? How are you?
In his defense, there was one time I did see a spider. So maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Are
you afraid of spiders?
I hate spiders.
Okay.
And I killed a black widow, I think, in my house.
What?
Oh my God. Yeah. Which was not fun.
Wait a second. Don't let that lie.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to let it lie.
No. I was not.
It was not fun. Like, literally, when?
It's either a black
recently?
Widow or a brown widow thing.
Okay. Not a tarantula, right?
No.
Okay.
But it was,
okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
So,
that's definitely not fun.
By the way, Terminator, not that.
What
condos
do you hate
completely?
More, spiders or silence?
Silence.
Good to know.
Silence.
What was so not fun? You take a shoe and you hit
No, because it ran. It took off a little.
Wow. This thing was like a runner.
Okay, it was a runner.
This is like a seat. I was like, I'm like seeing it. I'm like, where'd it go?
This is what I'm thankful for.
Do spiders run?
This is one of those things. Like, what do you think? Disney would rather us talk about this or have Jim Gaffigan come back drinking on the air talking about Bill Belichick's romantic life?
We should start drinking.
Okay.
I'm not going to worry about that.
Listen, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's see if Derek in Missouri give him one more shot.
Come on, Derek.
Hey, guys. Have a big
What happened last hour, Derek?
He was feeding the horse.
What happened? What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were taking my call. I was actually getting my lunch ready. That's why I missed you, apparently. Sorry about that.
You're getting your bugs ready? Like you're...
No, my lunch.
Ah. Derek's making lunch, guys. What's on your mind?
What's on the menu?
Well, first off, I just want to say, how about this, Rich? This is for you guys. How about name me the five teams you believe will make a run, will clinch a playoff spot first?
Well, I mean, the first playoff spot. How about this? I'll just give you one, Derek. But because later on, number. Well, no, I can't say that.
because their division is so tight. You got to look for somebody who's leading a division by a significant margin. That's why the Bills, if you remember last year, they clinched so soon. It's not because they had that. It was week 13 they clinched last year because the rest of the division was so brutal. And so you can't choose the South, can't choose the either division, either conference. You can't choose the North in either division. You have to look at Philadelphia potentially because they're 8-3 and Dallas is 5-5-1 in the second place spot. Or you could go New England. I know I went a little higher register a day early, but thanks for the call, Derek. I appreciate it. Have a good lunch. interesting food for thought. First to clinch. I mean, New England is up. They have 10-2. The Bills are 7-4, and they've beaten Buffalo. And Buffalo's got to come to New England next in the second game.
Yeah, they've already won. If the Bills lose this weekend and the Patriots win.
On Monday night, Patriots How's playing the Giants, and the Bills are in Pittsburgh.
I wonder how the math
Well, we have not that. Gotten a clinching scenario from the NFL front office. But, yeah, I would choose – because, again, the AFC North is two teams have the same record. AFC South, Colts play the Texans for the first of two times. And the Jaguars are playing Tennessee. The Jaguars are a game behind the Colts. The Texans are – two games behind the Colts, and the Jaguars have yet to play the Colts either, so that division's open. You could look at the AFC West, but the Chargers are two games behind the Broncos. The Chargers have beaten Denver. They're one of Denver's two losses. So you can't say that, especially when the Chiefs are in this mix too. But three games back, three and a half. And I don't know. I would choose New England right now and Philadelphia in the NFC. No matter how well the Rams are playing, and I'll get to my power rankings in a second, they're only one in front of Seattle, even though they're 1.5 up, and they're two in front of the Niners, or 1.5 on the Niners, and they split. So, but the Eagles are 8-3, and their second place team is 5-5-1 Dallas. Would you agree with those assessments? Yes? No?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
TJ Jefferson?
Yeah.
Okay. I like consensus.
Well, you know, you break things down sometimes, and it's hard to argue.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I like consensus. I don't like argument. which brings me to my power rankings.
Here we go.
You say that?
Power rankings presented by Sonos. Hit it.
Grab the Kendo.
This is my
power rankings. Power rankings presented by Sonos week 13. This is going into Thanksgiving week. And as you know, Bill Parcells always said, the season begins on Thanksgiving Day because that's when things really get dicey. Rubber meeting road, weather gets colder. Let's go. You heard that phrase about broken clocks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, twice a day or something.
Eventually they're going to be right.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Twice a day. Number 10 on my power rankings list. How many times has this man turned to me in a joking manner saying the Dallas Cowboys are on the list? Today is the day of the broken clock.
You just made the list!
Oh, wait, are you serious?
100%.
Let's go.
Come
here
on,
we go.
Come on.
Kurt Warner, Pro Football Hall of Famer, All 22 Extraordinaire. Said the Dallas Cowboys have the best offense in the National Football League.
I heard him.
And that includes the Los Angeles
Rams. Playing
on
Thursday.
I said playing on Thursday, and then he expanded it to what he has seen throughout the season. The Dallas Cowboys right now, over the last 2 weeks, have played spectacular football.
Sure, you're right.
And on both sides, they are way better. Way better over the last 2 weeks, roster-wise and also execution-wise. I understand they fell from 21 points down to win against the Philadelphia Eagles, and they were down 21. I don't know what's going to happen against the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Cowboys are coming in with an ability to outscore them and potentially get Mahomes off the spot. They got their hands full coming into Dallas in a way I did not think would be possible. And I've got to give it up the Dallas Cowboys. Right now, they are playing like a top third team in the National Football League, and that's the way I'm looking at power rankings.
A little low on the list, but I'd like the
chance. Hey, like, come on, man.
A little low on the list.
Their record. I just put a 5-5-1 team on, and I think I might take the Chiefs at the end of the day, but I have to give it up the way that they're playing right now.
Appreciate you, man. Is there a red bucket in here somewhere?
Yeah. No. This is not charitable. I'm not giving. Nope. This is not that. All right, we're not ringing bells out in front of a storefront here.
Goodness. By the way, real quick, pretty much guaranteed George Pickens is going to jump into the bell if given.
You think so?
He'll do whatever it takes to get fined.
Yeah. He is here to get fined.
That's right. Yeah. He's literally here to get fined.
The converse of Marshawn Lynch's favorite.
And get fined.
Salvation Army.
Number 9 on the list is up one spot. They did get it done. It didn't look pretty. I will not quit them yet. And I may get off them to win the NFC when I have my mulligan on NFL game day morning on Thanksgiving morning. But I'm putting the Lions here defensively. I am genuinely concerned that they got diced up by Gunnar Olszewski at one point.
It's a trick.
And they're giving
up.
They're giving up yak to Jameis.
He's an athlete, though.
Aiden Hutchinson did call game at the end of the day. Yeah. And the Lions have Jahmyr Gibbs. My God, do they have Jahmyr Gibbs?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I mispronounced his name. Jahmyr freaking Gibbs. So I'm putting the Lions here 9th. Even though they've lost to the Packers, who are 7-3-1, I think they have a better offense than Green Bay right now. Maybe not the better defense, but I can't wait for this game on Thanksgiving Day because the Packers are not on my list. Oh. Down 2 spots of the Colts. I'm not going to knock them off the list. They were up 20-9 in Kansas City, and they looked really good, man. You know, like the fourth quarter was – I'm sorry that he's catching some shrapnel wherever he is right now. The fourth quarter in Kansas City was like an overtime where they only had, what, like 14 total yards and getting outscored 14-0.
It was rough.
It was a quarter and a half – addition of A.D. Mitchell flipping the ball too soon. Because they looked incredible against the Chargers. Against the Rams, pardon me, until they lost that one, right?
True,
it was against the Rams that happened. You were there in the...
Yeah, it was against the Rams. Right. Yep, yep, yep.
They looked like they were going to beat the Rams, and they looked physically like they were beating up the Rams. And the same thing with Kansas City, but then they just disappeared. They still have some terrific players, obviously. But they're down 2 spots. They're 8th on the list. I don't care about the pushback you're about to give me on this. The Ravens are 7. And I think I had the Ravens on this list sooner than you thought. They were 2 games under 500. Now they're above 500.
Ooh.
They are playing terrific football defensively, which is why you might be looking at me sideways, because the defense is a large reason why they were 1-5. Not anymore. The Ravens are better than you on most Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays right now. And they are in first place, and the Ravens are 7th on my power rankings, up 1 spot. But behind the highest they've been all season long, up 3 spots, I'm putting the Bears right here. I'm putting them right here. I said I wanted to see something for a full game, and against an opponent that was leading the division, which the Steelers no longer are, because the Bears keep winning. Caleb's slinging it, man. The ball just flies out of his hands, too.
It's all good stat. Against the Blitz this year, 9 touchdowns, 0 picks.
Hey, man.
I still hear Bears fans kind of complaining about, like,
what?
His accuracies. I'm just...
Well, he's like 59%. Yeah, he's not that accurate.
But really, right. That's the only complaint I'm hearing.
Sure, but are we on an upward trajectory in a way that last year was not?
Without question.
We're not worried about who's in his ear anymore, or if anybody's in his ear, or if anybody's helping him watch film, or if he really wants to be in Chicago. And DJ Moore, who is like rolling his eyes about offense, when
back.
I saw them in London, which was prior to this year, Caleb Williams' best game, 4 touchdown passes, the end of the height of the Matt Eberflus era, and DJ Moore, you could see, was like rolling his eyes about everything going on. That's gone. That's gone. And the Bears are going into Philadelphia with a why not us attitude, you know? And I said I wanted to see it from start to finish because they kept on having to win it at the last second from behind. They played with the lead and held on to it. Bears are 6. Seahawks, no change. They stay like before. They're a top 5 team. They're 8-3. I believe they're about to go 9-3 with Max Brosmer, the undrafted free agent rookie coming in with the Vikings. I mean, is that the offensive player of the year on our screen? Jackson Smith and Jigba? He's certainly in line for it right now. So good.
So good.
Great defensively. High flying. One of the best offensive players in the National Football League. A run game to support it all. Number four on the list. Down two spots of putting the Eagles right here.
Ooh.
I'm not knocking them down out of the top. They're still a top five team in the NFL. I just found it interesting. Kurt Warner's like, if you throw it better than you run it, then throw it.
Right.
And get Saquon the ball that way. Put him in space like the Lions do with Jahmyr Gibbs. You know? Let's see. I still believe they're one of the top five teams in the NFL. Number three, no change. Coming off a bye because the Broncos
like a
did beat the Eagles. I'm putting him here at three. Right. That defense is unreal, man. That defense is unreal. And they're coming off of a bye, and they're at the Commanders. Let's see if they start doing what the Patriots have done, to be very honest with you, which is beat teams they're supposed to beat and beat them up and not have them and not look like they're struggling half the time on offense, relying on that defense.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can put something together, but they're three, and up two spots are your Patriots, Chris. They are the top ranked AFC team right now. 10 wins, the only 10 win team in the NFL. I don't care what your record is, right? The Vrabel soundbite doesn't really matter what the stats, the record are.
Don't mean S.
I mean, I believe right now, Drake May on your left is an MVP finalist. And I believe that's your coach of the year on the ride right now.
I think so. Yeah, feels like it.
And Mike Vrabel, and so that's two. And number one, the Rams are staying like before.
Stays like a buffalo.
3 weeks in a row.
I like it.
The Rams have led my power rankings, and there's no reason to think anything else right now. They are doing it in every possible phase. The Bills are off the list. The Cowboys are on it. For the moment, my power rankings are brought to you by Sonos. Explore soundbars, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos products look as good as they sound. Who should be on it that isn't? As I'm telling you about my power rankings presented by Sonos.
I don't know how I've become the biggest defender of this team, but I think the Chiefs should probably be on this list instead of Dallas. To be honest.
Well, let's see if I don't know. I think Dallas has played better football than the Chiefs over the last couple of weeks. How does that sound?
Listen, Rich, using them critical.
It's your list.
Yeah, this list looks tremendous to me.
No, it's nice.
I mean, the first time. We've forgotten about the Chargers a little bit.
Well, I mean, the Chargers were on a bye. But the Chargers are banged up at both tackle spots offensively. The Chargers got their butts whipped by Jacksonville last we saw them. I can't put a seven. I just ignore the records right now. And I'm like, who plays whom? Who would win? I don't know if I can't, as you know, I don't think I can quit the Chiefs on Thursday when I have to reconfigure who makes the Super Bowl or not. And I'm toying about sticking with the Lions, but the Rams are playing too.
Well, you should bail on both teams, football. But in terms of this list, I mean, I would have Green Bay probably 10, maybe KC
really?
9.
Green Bay offensively has not done jack significantly.
Yeah, but they're finding ways to win, and that goes with, you know, what you're talking about with the Ravens.
Their power rankings. The Cowboys have played powerful football over the last 2 weeks. They have.
Are you on Jerry's payroll now?
I am not. What's happening? I have a pair of eyes, sir.
You know, I can't believe I'm going to say this. The fact that this team has had to deal with so many injuries and so much doubt, and they keep on winning.
Who?
Bang, bang, Niner game.
Then where are the Niners?
It hurts me. But I mean,
it's hard.
With everyone that they've lost, all the.
There's only 10 of them. I can only put 10 on the list.
I mean, you put the 10, number 10 especially.
Oh, I think the Niners beat the Cowboys, Lions, and Colts.
All of a sudden.
Football?
All of a sudden, he's Mr. Brock Purdy right over there. Okay. This guy, all of a sudden, charter member of the Brock Purdy fan clubs that he has established in week 13 of the 2025 season after.
I was on Purdy at the beginning of the season.
Okay.
Wait, what? Mr. Brock.
I took him in every fantasy.
All right. Let's take a break here on the Rich Eisen Show. Tom Pelissero when we come back.
Tommy B!
B.
Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today. As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
We all love a legendary comeback, and Degree Original Cool Rush is back and better than ever. Cool Rush isn't just a scent, it's a movement, a fan favorite that delivers bold, fresh vibes and all-day sweat protection. Whether you have a man that spends hours in the gym, heads into the office early, or is just trying to stay fresh on a long day, Cool Rush has their back. Head to your local Walmart or Target and grab Degree Cool Rush, the fan favorite scent from the world's number one antiperspirant brand.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Pelissero is here, everybody.
Hey,
Tom,
hey. Hey. Rich, what's up to the boys in studio?
Hey, looking hey, great, Tom, man. You're the best.
That hair.
Great seeing you, man.
All right, everybody.
Say hi, number Rich. One holiday when Tom's on.
Yeah. No, I'm not waving hello to a video you're recording on your camera to send
yeah.
in.
It's just yeah. So yeah. This is going to be on Tom's Instagram.
Great for the gram.
Let's go.
Tommy P.
Are the Vikings really reevaluating J.J. McCarthy already? I mean, so many rumors abound that there's remorse already, that they've already, you know, that they've evaluated enough from him already. What are you hearing there in Minnesota about what's happening at the quarterback spot now that it's obviously laser focused with them visiting Sam Darnold this weekend? Tom.
I would definitely not categorize it as remorse regarding J.J. McCarthy. He's still... And everything I'm about to say is not making excuses for J.J. McCarthy or saying that he's played better than he actually has. He's made six NFL starts. He is a guy who missed every rep in his first year. He missed the bulk of the first half of his second year with an injury, and now he's sidelined in all likelihood a third time, and we'll see an undrafted rookie, Max Brosmer, starting against the Seahawks on Sunday. You know, after the season, I have no doubt that, you know, between Kevin O'Connell, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, and others, and they probably already thought through some of these things, you'll do an autopsy of sorts on the 2025 season. The biggest question, it's never been, why didn't they try to retain those guys? They made an offer to Sam Darnold. They just weren't willing to do the type of multi-year commitment because they wanted J.J. McCarthy to be able to step in. They tried on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones ultimately decided his better chance to earn a long-term starting job was in Indianapolis. They at least thought about when Aaron Rodgers brought up the idea of coming. But again, bringing in an Aaron Rodgers, even on a one-year deal, you're effectively saying we're never going to bench him, meaning J.J. McCarthy's opportunity is being pushed further out. And when you're doing the calculus in terms of your resource management, in terms of your cap allocation, you want to utilize that rookie quarterback window sooner than later. And you look at the moves that they made in this offseason. You go and you sign two defensive tackles and you sign two interior offensive linemen. You wanted to get tougher on both fronts. If you give Sam Darnold, what did he get in Seattle? 3 years and $100 million, I think. It makes it harder to make some of those moves. That's why teams try to take advantage of the rookie quarterback window. To this point, it has not worked out, and there are a multitude of reasons for that. It's the injuries. It's, you know, J.J. McCarthy's had a lot going on in his life, going all the way back to week two, coming off the rally in Chicago in the opener and everyone being fired up. And short week, his son is born. He misses some practice, doesn't play well, and then gets hurt. You know, there's so many things the young quarterbacks have to do to have success in the NFL, and it's hard when you just don't have the opportunity to stack those reps. I fully anticipate, and it's already happening, that they're going to evaluate everything in terms of the quarterback position moving forward. But it's not as if, certainly not anyone I've talked to is sitting there going, this was a failure. Why did we ever draft him? It's more, this has been really, really challenging out of the gate. And as much as, you know, you saw JJ early in that game, I was there at Lambeau Field on Sunday. The first couple of drives, he was making accurate throws. He was getting Justin Jefferson involved. That game really flipped on a weird muffed punt fiasco that totally changed the game and gave the Packers a padded lead that turned loose Micah Parsons and everything else. But then, yeah, you look in the second half, JJ's dropping back, trying to make things happen. He's missing throws. He's throwing into double coverage. That's kind of been the pattern, which is the good has been pretty good. The Detroit game was good. Baltimore had its moments. Obviously, the fourth quarter against Chicago. But putting together a full game, the bad has just been so bad that it's really hard. And statistically right now, J.J. McCarthy is one of the least efficient quarterbacks in the entire NFL.
Pull back the curtain on what's happening in Cleveland. Is this Shador's starting gig to keep if he continues to improve? What are they thinking there? In Cleveland.
Well, Shador already did enough that Dylan Gabriel's out of the concussion protocol and he's getting a second start. The plan was always in Cleveland. They wanted to see both these guys. They got an extra first round pick. They got all these resources at the position in 2026. They also were in a unique position to draft two guys in the mid rounds because quarterbacks just weren't coming off the board. They always intended to get an evaluation of both players through the season. Now, Shador's opportunity came sooner than it would otherwise have if Dylan Gabriel had not suffered a concussion, but they went out and they won. How much of that was Shador? You know, he completed 11 passes for around 200 yards. His touchdown is like a bubble screen, and one of their many bright young rookies on this team, it was a showcase, takes that thing to the house, Dylan Sampson, showing why he, on top of Quinshon Judkins and Harold Fannin and Carson Schwechter, who might be the defensive player of the year, and Mason Graham, like they got dudes in this draft class. If one of these quarterbacks even is a thought to be your starter in 2026, it's a massive home run. But credit to Shador. He played, you know, good enough to win. He had an interception in the game as well. It wasn't like he went out and, you know, proved he's an NFL MVP, but he played well enough that it makes sense. Coming home, you're trying to have some juice. We keep talking, Rich, about, hey, the Bengals might be able to make a run. The Bengals and the Browns have the same record. They're both 3-8. They're both three games back in the AFC North, which, based upon how Baltimore and Pittsburgh look, I'm not saying it's likely. We all know what the stats and the analytics say. This is like less than 1% chance these teams are going to win it. But like they've got a chance now. You know, Browns coming home facing a tough opponent on Sunday. That stadium's going to be rocking, and a big part of that reason is for Shador Sanders. Like you look at it right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not over. They're facing a beat up 49ers team. Let's see what. What Shador can do, I go back to, Rich, just to something we talked about last week, and all the talk of, you know, he's being sabotaged and all this stuff. Let's not, you know, just like I said, let's not overreact to one start, but also there's going to be this narrative that keeps on going, which is basically anything that Shador does right is because Shador is so great, and anything that goes wrong, it's because Kevin Stefanski's trying to screw him. Give Kevin Stefanski and Tommy Rees credit for building a game plan around Shador. They were asking him to do things that he's good at last week, and it's a credit to Shador that he went out and he executed those things. He didn't take the deep sacks. He wasn't running around all day and getting himself in trouble. He played on time a lot of the time. He made enough plays for the Browns to get a win.
And then, as you pointed out, you observed in one of your posts this week, Tom, that Pete Carroll's never fired an assistant in his entire career and has now done so twice in a span of 17 days, special teams and now offensive coordinator Chip Kelly is out. What is Tom Brady thinking? Because it's really what it comes down to. Let's be honest. Let's just boil it down. Like what how much was he influential in the decisions of these coaching staff that Pete is now changing middle of the season? And what decisions need to be made over the final or needs to be seen over the next 6 weeks to potentially make more decisions in Vegas?
Well, let's rewind to last January.
Okay.
It had become apparent by the end of last season that Tom Brady's number one choice was Ben Johnson. That was the coach that he wanted. He had talked about him at times in certain ways, and people read into his comments on the broadcast. He had spoken with him before games and things like that. Tom Brady is maybe not just the greatest, but the smartest quarterback to ever play the game. And the things that he saw Ben Johnson do were so next level in Detroit. That was the guy he wanted. And there was a bet of sorts made by the Raiders that it's Tom Brady. Who's going to say no to Tom Brady? So Tom was directly recruiting Ben Johnson and trying to convince him to come. The Raiders, I was told at the time, had a massive offer out to Ben Johnson. They wanted him to come in the building and go through a second interview, but it was pretty apparent if Ben wanted the job, it was Ben's job. Well, one day after the Lions season ends, he's on a plane to Chicago and he is taking the Bears job without even having to do an in-person interview. His performance against the Bears had kind of been his interview for a couple of years, but the Bears also made him a really strong offer. And I got the sense even at the time that there was no clear plan B. Not that they didn't have different thoughts in mind about who they might want to interview, but they interviewed, you know, a variety of coaches from different backgrounds. They interviewed, you know, Robert Saleh was somebody who had interviewed with them. They interviewed some other younger coaches. They interviewed some older coaches. Pete Carroll, philosophically, schematically, age, personality, has virtually nothing in common with Ben Johnson. And the point I'm making is not only did you pivot in terms of the coach you hired, you completely pivoted in the way that you were trying to build it. From Ben Johnson, offensive guru, he's 39 years old or whatever, long-term answer to Pete Carroll, defensive coach in his 70s, was out last year, just wants to run the football, throw it when he needs to, and win with defense. It was totally different. Chip Kelly seemed like he was the bridge between the two, which was Chip had been regarded at his peak going back to Oregon and early on in Philadelphia as being somebody who was really, really smart with offense. But what you saw was once Chip didn't have the players who were better than everyone else, you know, he had DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy early in Philly. He made the choices to get rid of them. All of a sudden, the Eagles' offense wasn't the same. He goes to San Francisco. That offense was not the same. He's out of the NFL. He goes back to college. Ohio State, what's the common denominator? Better athletes than everybody else had. It took – I was at the week one game. The Raiders beat the Patriots.
Yeah.
But that might be the weirdest result the entire NFL schedule.
No doubt.
When you rewind, it was kind of bumpy that day, but they made some plays. And it just seemed like from week two on, teams just kind of caught up with what the Raiders were doing. And there are all kinds of different stories, Rich, about just the dysfunction of the Raiders' offense. There were times I was told where Chip Kelly was repeatedly botching the play calls, where he's supposed to be, for instance, tagging a motion on a play so the receiver's on the left, not the right. He forgets to say it, so Geno Smith is going to the line of scrimmage and going, this doesn't look right, and they're trying to run a play. Mm. It happened on a third down in the game the other day. There's times where Chip, I was told on several occasions, called a play that was either not in the game plan or not installed at all. Things like that happen. You're not productive. That's enough. You didn't need any extra excuses.
Damn.
But there were a lot of things that were popping up within games that were just not anything that a good team can overcome. They didn't have enough talent. There's no doubt about it. Maybe my favorite stat of the entire season is there were only three players on the Raiders offense who were making more money than Chip Kelly. It was Geno Smith, Colton Miller, and Ashton Gentry was making like 6.1. Chip was making $6 million a year. I can't think of another team that had a setup like that. It was always going to be a challenge for them offensively, but Chip's scheme was supposed to elevate it. And what you saw on the field made pretty obvious. There was kind of a level of chaos to it that just made it really, really hard for them to function.
It makes it hard to even imagine how you move forward. You know, like what next? You know,
those are the things.
That's why I asked about Brady. Like, you got to whatever's going between those temples, and obviously, you know, he's got his Sunday job as well. Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. Before I let you go, sir, the conversation in college is all about Lane Kiffin, his choice between staying in Ole Miss and Florida and LSU, throwing tons of money at him, and when he's got to make a decision. And there's an Ole Miss playoff run, and yada, yada, yada. Is the pro game also in his mix? Is there anything you're hearing about the NFL being part of his decision-making process? Tom?
There were rumblings months ago that perhaps there might be an opportunity that would intrigue Lane in the NFL. I have not heard anything substantive on that front over the past, I would say, month or so, in large part because you've got, you know, one of the top agents in the college game, Jimmy Sexton, who is currently managing a multifaceted push for a coach who's having the best year that he's ever had at Ole Miss. It does not sound like at this point. I know there's logical connections that can be made to a certain quarterback who's now in New York with a team that has a head coaching opening. I have not gotten that sense. You never say never on any of these things. I do believe that this is a unique year, and I wrote my annual Rising Young Coaches story last week. There is not a Ben Johnson this year. There is not a slam dunk. This guy is going to get a job if he wants one. He's definitely going to have one. We don't have that in this group. There's also not a Mike Vrabel, where it's everyone just kind of assumes, okay, Vrabel takes one and Ben takes one. Now who takes the other jobs? So there are a bunch of young coaches that I think are going to be in the mix. There are some names that I don't know that are getting a ton of attention right now that I think are going to end up at minimum getting interviews for jobs. There will be a bunch of former head coaches that are in the mix. Mike McCarthy, I would say, stands alone as a Super Bowl champion who is currently not coaching. He's living back in Green Bay. I've seen him a couple of times up there, including I ran into him in the loading dock at the Packers-Eagles game 2 weeks ago, which was kind of funny. It was on his birthday, and I hear Tom, and I'm like, What are you doing here? He's like, oh, it's a great game. Like he's loving, he's having dude. That opportunity with his dude. Family. They love Green Bay, but he's just, you know, he's around town. But he, you know, I can tell you, Mike still wants to coach in the right opportunity. He would be very interested. And he's got some, you know, qualifications on his resume that no one else has, which is number one, building two programs in the NFL, both of which broke through in his second season at the helm. He's won a Super Bowl perpetually in the playoffs, won over 60% of his games. Mike is absolutely, I believe, going to have interviews. He's going to be selective. He's not going to take any job. But there are some opportunities out there that I believe are going to intrigue him. And beyond that, you know, Jeff Hafley's having a great year with the Packers as the defensive coordinator, former Boston College head coach. You know, Matt Nagy, some of the other coordinators who have not had head coaching jobs, like Lou Anarumo, Matt Burke, Anthony Weaver could be. He's had interviews in the past couple of years here. But those college coaches, when you have, Rich, those no clear frontline candidates, and I fully anticipate we're going to be at the historic average of six or seven openings this year. Does somebody make a run at Marcus Freeman again, the Notre Dame head coach? You know, over the last two off seasons, both times, there have been teams, the Raiders a couple of years ago, the Bears last year, who were really intrigued by Marcus Freeman because of his age, because of his leadership, because of his X's and O's knowledge. I would say that's a name that's more likely to come up than Lane Kiffin. But in the wide world of crazy coaching moves here, Rich, who knows? There could be some other things that we're not anticipating that pop up sometime here in the next couple of months.
Belichick? Blank check? Belichick?
Bill Belichick, I keep saying it, and he can have somebody post statements for him on Instagram.
Oh, just say Lombardi's name by NFL name. Just call Mike by name. Just call Mike by his name. It's okay. Go for it.
I don't know if it was Mike. Okay. There were some typos in the statement.
Okay.
Bill would absolutely interested.
Yes.
He would absolutely listen in certain spots, but somebody's got to be willing to do it. And I know that I've said this before. I said it on game day morning. I'll repeat it again. If Bill takes a job, it's not going to be. You're not going to hear the second week of January, Bill's doing a first interview and Bill's going to be a finalist.
Yeah, none of that
anymore.
It'll
just be the whole process will take place. He's not going to get wrapped into it like Atlanta.
Yeah.
Someone will run an entire process. They'll get to the end. They'll go, we don't know who to hire. And then an owner will go, let's just go get Belichick. And one day, hopefully, I'll be the one that's reporting Bill's on a plane to City X, and he's going to take the job. That's what it's going to be. Dark of night, in the shadows. Until then, it'll be deny, deny, deny. But is Bill Belichick still open to coming back to the NFL? I would tell you, based on everything I know, absolutely.
Tom, thanks, man. Have a great Thanksgiving. I'll see you throughout the weekend, obviously. Good to chat. You're the best, man. Appreciate
it. You too, Rich. Thanks.
Tommy P, everybody.
See you,
Tom
buddy.
Pelissero.
Bye, Tommy.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Later, brother.
All right. I got a top five list for y'all.
Ooh.
Coming up next, top five fast starting teams. I'm concerned about how they're going to finish.
Oh,
it's a mouthful, but there's five of them. Okay. And a one more. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show, 2017, our radio audience, we just showed an old school, was that 9 years, 8 years ago now? My dad, may he rest in peace, was sitting here too. You know, my kids are now 6'2", the two boys, right? Little kids, woo! Turkey bowling.
Giants.
Sweet Bob Saget. Oh. And my dad too. Oh boy, that one hit me. That's what Thanksgiving's all about, family. Well, hopefully everybody is celebrating with the ones you love. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're right here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. We're also brought to you by Sonos. Everybody, Sonos speakers and Sonos soundbars and Sonos headsets. They are all awesome, and they make anything that you are watching or listening to sound like you are literally right there with whatever you're listening to and whatever you're watching. Imagine your favorite playlist flowing from room to room, movie nights that make you feel like you're at the theater, or games that make you feel like you're at the stadium. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on right now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. I've got a top five list, everybody, and it's a top five list of teams that I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. And they're all fast starters. I'm wondering how they're going to finish, and it's presented by Hyundai.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, my top five teams, and they're all teams that started fast, and I'm mostly concerned about how they're going to finish. As you know, the famous axiom of Bill Parcells is that the season begins at Thanksgiving.
That's right.
So here's my top five teams that I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. Again, I'm presented by Hyundai. It's kind of an annual rite of passage, unfortunately, for those in Western PA. I'm putting the Steelers at five. I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. Once upon a time, 3.5 in front of the Ravens. They're entering Thanksgiving weekend in the eighth seed, heading to Buffalo with Aaron Rodgers having his left wrist party in Pittsburgh. Buffalo's in Pittsburgh, and his left wrist is in some sort of a device. Offensively, the passing game hasn't been very stout. Defensively, they're up and down. I know Steelers fans. It kind of feels like, you ask a Steelers fan, does it feel like the last few years? And they'll say yes.
Yeah, still have two games against the Ravens and the Lions on the board. So,
number four on this list, they were fast starters. They started 3-0, and they won all their games against division opponents. The Chargers are four on this list. Okay. I'm concerned how they're going to finish. They didn't look good in Jacksonville at all. They were missing their left and right tackles. And Justin Herbert was beat up by the Jacksonville Jaguars significantly. Is O'Marrion Hampton coming back anytime soon?
Hopefully.
We'll see. Chargers are in a good position at 7-4, but I'm concerned about how they're going to finish.
Really hard schedule.
Number three on this list, I'll put the Eagles here. I was telling everybody relax, because you take a look at their opponents, and there are some winnable games for this team down the stretch. They take on Washington twice. Washington, very beatable. They have Vegas on their calendar. I'm talking about how the Chargers, I'm wondering how they're going to finish. They visit L.A. And they should win most of these games. But if this is a team that once upon a time started 2-1 and they got 1-done in the playoffs, the same way that Steelers fans are like, are we seeing deja vu again? Fast start, slow finish. They finish above 500, but that's not what we raise banners about. I'll put the Eagles here. Just cause. Two are the Bucks. I'll put the Bucks here. Mm-hmm. Are they healthy? I mean, Baker Mayfield left Los Angeles with his left arm in a sling. So even if he can come back this weekend, what, one hit? He won't be back in a sling? When's Bucky Irvin coming back, man? Can they get Mike Evans back? I'm concerned how they're going to finish. They could wind up winning the division and making the playoffs anyway, because Carolina's going to have to catch him. I don't think Atlanta is going to. They're number two. The number one team I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. I'm putting the Colts here.
Ooh.
Whoa.
I'm putting the Colts here. Because the fast start, they've lost 2 of 3. Atlanta took them to the limit in Berlin. And they have yet to face division opponents. And you throw records out, man. Jacksonville is above 500. And now Houston is as well. They have to visit Seattle. They've got San Francisco coming into their house. I just told you their final games. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And the division's wide open. 8-3 can become, you know, 11 wins, 10 wins, and that might not be enough to win your division or even make the playoffs. So that's number one on the list.
You have one more. I did not know this.
My boy. And I will put the Lions here, too.
Oh, okay.
That offensive line is not the same. Mm. That game against the Giants put points up. So what's going to happen when you're taking on other opponents that are left on your list, on your schedule, like everybody in their division, pretty much?
Packers, Cowboys,
okay,
Rams.
Dallas has been off. Dallas and the Rams, we've just talked with Bears. Kurt Warner and earlier. Those could be the best offenses in the NFL.
Yeah.
And if Jahmyr Gibbs is not going off, what? They do have Amon-Ra. Jameson Williams has been a guy. Then, but defensively, that one didn't look great to me. So those are my top five teams that I'm concerned about how they're going to finish. Presented by Hyundai right here on the Rich Eisen Show to wrap up hour number two. This, we at least finished strong this hour.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.